The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In Parashat Pinchas, one of the topics that is discussed in the fourth portion of the Parashah, Revi, is the appointment of Yehoshua ben Nun, the disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, to become the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel, and to give us the inheritance, each one of us, in each tribe, and each person, his particular inheritance in Eretz Israel, which Yehoshua did accomplish. So here, Moses is told by Hashem, after actually approaching Hashem, and the only one time in the Torah it says the verse which is the inverse of the most common verse in the whole Torah, which is, and Hashem spoke to Moses saying, by the Berashem Moshe Lemor, there's one time that it reads in the reverse order, which is at the beginning of this story, by the Ben Moshe Al Hashem Lemor, then instead of Hashem speaking to Moses saying, it says that Moses spoke to Hashem saying. And then he begins by asking Hashem, Yifkod Hashem, I'll say it in Hebrew, Yifkod Hashem Eloki Aruchot Echol Basar Ish Al Ha'edah, may Hashem, the God of the spirits of all flesh, may He appoint a man over the congregation, meaning to appoint a new leader to the Jewish people. So then the topic from this week's parasha that we're going to concentrate and meditate upon today is the appointment of a successor to the leader of the Jewish people, the leader of the generation. That Moses has been told by Hashem that he is not allowed to enter the land of Israel and that he will pass away before the Jewish people goes over the Jordan River. And he must not appoint someone to take his place. So even though our sages teach us that Moses thought that maybe Hashem would have him appoint his own son to be a successor, just as in the case of his brother Aaron, the high priest, that Aaron merited that his son became his successor. And Moses thought that maybe he would also merit the same thing, but Hashem says, no, the one that is worthy to be the leader of the generation is your trustworthy disciple, Joshua, Yehoshua ben Nun. At first, Moses doesn't know who Hashem is going to indicate to become the successor. And he just says to Hashem that the successor has to possess certain properties. But Moses himself outlines and enumerates to God what should and what must be the properties of the leader of the Jewish people. So before going on, we'll just say that what we can learn and understand from these nine verses, actually, it's a portion of nine verses, the story of appointing Yeshua, are the characteristics that are necessary for a true leader of the Jewish people. Meaning that each and every one of us can apply this to ourselves in small. Because in small, every Jew is intended to be a leader of all those souls that relate and belong to his immediate environment, and according to the degree of all-inclusiveness of his soul, just like in a tree, there's a branch that has 10 branches that come out of it, there's a bigger branch that has 100 branches that come out of it, and so forth and so on. But in general, every branch has other, like in a river, tributaries that derive from it. And so the process continues on and on, meaning that every different part is responsible for all of those other tributaries, we'll call them, that come out of his flow and his river of spiritual revelation. So each one of us has to be a leader. And this is the story in the Torah that teaches us about leadership and about one leader appointing another leader, the leader to come. So the opening verse, as we just now read it, is that Moses says to God, may God, who is the God of all spirits, of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation. So the first definition of the leader is Ish Al-Heida, a man over the congregation. The word man, there are different synonyms for man in Hebrew. The word man itself, this particular word Ish, very often implies in the Torah leadership properties and characteristics. Then it says that this man will take the people, will go before the people, will take them out and bring them back, meaning for more, and that he is the shepherd. It says he is the shepherd of the flock of the Jewish people. And then after Moses says this, so then God says to Moses, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, take Yehoshua ben Nun, take now Joshua, the son of Nun, known as the father of Joshua, that he is the man that you were referring to. Even though, as we said before, it wasn't clear to Moses who is going to be appointed. But that man that you spoke of with all of those properties that you indicated, the man is Joshua, your greatest and most faithful disciple. That he is the man, Asher Ruach Bo, that has a spirit in him. And then God says what to do to him. In order to appoint him to become your successor, you must place your hand over him. Now, the concept in Hebrew of placing one's hand, like a teacher or a mentor placing his hand over his disciple, this is ordination. So just like the same word that we use in Hebrew when a sage or a rabbi is ordained to be able to decide make legal decisions and to be a judge. So that ordination is called smicha. The literal meaning of the word smicha is to support, but smicha means actually supporting our hands by placing them over the head of the disciple that the elder mentor is now ordaining to become a sage in his own right. So that's, with this phrase and this idiom, Moses didn't mention, but God now says how to do it. But the man that you were speaking of is Yehoshua, Joshua, the son of Nun. But the way to do it, which also means the way to emanate the fullest amount and measure of your spiritual power and inspiration to him, is by placing your hand over him. B'samachta et yadcha alav. And then he continues to say that you shall place him, that he shall stand before him, before the high priest of the second generation, of the son of Aaron, and so forth. And then it continues a few verses after, and it says that Moses performed exactly what God has told him. And he took Joshua, and he placed him, he stood him before the priest, Eleazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron, and before the whole congregation. And then the final verse, the conclusion, which is the enactment of the appointment itself, which is the ordination, it says, Vayismoch, the very same word, smicha, which means a support, but this is the verb that means to appoint in the sense of ordaining. Vayismoch, he placed his hands over him, and he commanded him, Moses commanded Joshua, just as God had spoken, in the hand of Moses. The two last words of this story are Biyad Moshe, in the hands of Moses. So what we're now going to meditate upon is that the central image in this story is the secret of the hand, and how the hand has the power to emanate and project spiritual and divine energy from the mentor to the student that he is appointing and ordaining to become his successor. That the power, once more, is placing, which is called supporting, the hands of the mentor on the head of the disciple. So the first thing that meets the eyes, and this the sages take note of, and Rashi, the most important commentator on the Chumash, also notes, is that when God commands Moses to ordain Joshua, it says, V'samach et yadcha adav, you shall place and support your hand over him. And it says hand in the singular, one hand. But then when Moses actually enacts it, does it in actuality, so it says at the end, V'yismach et yadav adav, that he placed both hands over him. Now God did not tell him to put both hands over him, just said one hand. V'samach yadcha, that you shall place your hand over him. Meaning that Moses did more even than God had commanded with regard to projecting his energy from himself to his disciple Yahushua and ordaining him to become the leader of the Jewish people. Now, the most amazing thing is that the very last phrase, which is an uncommon phrase, it's not the only time that it appears in the Torah, but it's a relatively rare phrase, is that it says that Moses did it as God had commanded in the hand of Moses. Now, as an idiom, Biyad Moshe just means through the means of Moses. But it's very clear that this word is not just used for no deeper reason than that. The fact that it says at the conclusion, we're taught that everything, a whole story, a whole portion of the Torah, is always summarized by its concluding phrase and its concluding words. So the fact that the two concluding words of this story is Biyad Moshe, in the hand of Moses, it once more emphasizes very greatly that this whole story, the whole concept of leadership and transforming leadership from generation to generation is a function of the hand. And as though the hand is being projected from the body in order to connect together, to link together, to bond and tie together generations of leadership. Also implying that to lead itself, that in each generation the leader leads through the power of his hands. I mean, I would expect maybe the leader leads through the power of his words, of his speech, which is certainly true, because even one of the words for a leader in Hebrew is dabar, from the word daber, which means to speak. So there's something about the speech that a leader has to perfect his power of speech in order to lead. But here, what is being emphasized is that there's a process of giving over leadership through hands. Once more, it begins with God saying that you should place your hand over him. Then it says in the story, it says that Moses, in the actualization, when he fulfills it, it says he placed his hands in the plural. And then at the very end, it says that the whole thing was performed perfectly in accordance with the word of God by the hand of Moses. Which once more is an idiom, meaning through the means of Moses. But the word that is used in the idiom is hand. So actually the word hand here repeats itself three times. As we'll see that in Kabbalah, in our meditation, we have to think of three hands. When God says to Moses, you shall place your hand over him and thereby ordain him and give him, project into him the energies and power of leadership, he's simply referring to the right hand, of course. We wouldn't think that God would tell Moses, put your left hand, which is the weak hand, relatively over Joshua, especially in order to give him leadership. It's clear that if he says in the singular, just place your hand, so he's referring to the hand which is the more powerful hand, the more dominant hand, which is the right hand, the hand that leads, the hand that writes, the hand that directs, we think of an idiom, a conductor of an orchestra, so he conducts with his right hand. Even as far as the leadership of Moses himself, there's a verse that reads, Modich li'mi Moshe, which is understood to mean that Moses leads the people by means of his right hand, or by means of the secret of the right in general. I mean that as a leader, he himself is a rightist leader. So now he's giving over his leadership to Joshua. So obviously the means of giving over the leadership is through the right hand. Therefore, when it says in the continuation that Moses actually put both of his hands over Joshua, so what he added the left, the power also has a special power, unique power to itself, as we'll explain. He added the left hand to the right hand. Once God, just when he said to place your hand over Joshua, so he meant the more important hand, or the hand of leadership itself, which is the right hand. But in order to do it consummately, in order that the right hand itself should have consummate power, Moses knew that he has to include the left hand in the right hand. That's the secret or the concept that's explained in Kabbalah, la'achlala smole b'yamina. That perfection is when the left is also there together with the right. In fact, the way that's explained in Kabbalah is that the left, when it's together with the right, it augments the power of the right. And that the right can do so much to lead the people just by itself, and it's the essential leader. But since also, even we can understand it very simply on the political plane, since there are leftist elements in the people itself, and we're not here to change the mentalities of the people, because one of the whole secrets of this story is, of this portion, is that Joshua, why is he chosen to be the man? He is the man of the Ruach Lord, says that he has the spirit. The same spirit that Moses addressed Hashem, that you are the God of spirits, of all flesh. What does it mean that he's a man of spirit? He has a spirit to know how to relate to the individual and different spirit of each and every Jew. And he doesn't come to change spirits. And if one spirit is a more rightist spirit, another spirit is a more leftist spirit. So that even though he himself is inheriting his power to lead from Moses, who leads by the power of the right, and God says also to put his right hand over him, but he has to know, this is what Moses indicates, alludes to, and what God makes explicit, that he is the man of spirit that knows how to go in accordance with the spirit of each individual. And that spirit must include the ability to relate properly to the left and to have the left become included within the right. So that's why at the end, Moses places both of his hands over Yahushua in order to include the left within the right. That perfects and consummates and augments the power of the right itself. In general, the left is identified with the might. The right with loving kindness. Chesed and Gvura in the terminology of Kabbalah. When the world needs rain, needs water, so just the rain itself is an act of loving kindness that Hashem gives rain to the earth. But if there's a very, very strong rainfall, in order that the water be able to penetrate deeply into the earth, that demands the inter-inclusion of might within chesed, gvura within chesed, might within loving kindness. That gives the water itself, which itself is a manifestation of loving kindness, the power to penetrate deep into the earth in order to make the growth sprout from the earth. That's why the term for good rains, productive rains, is called Gevurot Gshamim. It's the might of Gshamim. So once more, this is also under to get a sense of why Moses puts both of his hands over the head, even though he's commanded only to put one hand. And then at the end, he concludes that all this is by the means of the hand that he performs the commandment consummately, as God told him. All by the hand of Moses. This alludes to a third hand. Now this third hand is actually present within the name of the new leader. And now Yahushua, Joshua, represents every new leader. It means that every new Jewish boy or girl that is growing up to become a leader and to to manifest leadership properties, here has to identify himself with Yehoshua and wish that he merits that Moses, the great Rebbe, leader of the generation, places his hands upon him, thereby projecting into him the power of leadership. He has to have previous preconditions, that the most important preconditions is a person who is Noach Labriot, who is very good that people like him because he's able to relate to every person on his own plane, his own level. Even though he has very firm convictions in himself, but nonetheless, he is very, very good with interpersonal relationship, which is called Ish Asher Ruach Bo. And then he is chosen and he is commanded. God commands Moses to place his hand over him. Afterwards, Moses gives him both hands together. In Joshua's name itself, himself, that's once more, we're now identifying ourselves with Joshua, Yehoshua bin Nun. So originally his name is Hoshea, without the first letter. The first letter of his name is the letter Yud. Now in Hebrew, the letter Yud, which is a small dot, which is also the first letter of God's name, of God's essential name, Havaya, the letter itself means hand. So the origin of the concept of hand was the most pure and abstract hand is the letter Yud, which is both the initial letter of God's essential name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and also was given in a previous Torah reading, in Parashat Shalach, the Torah reading of the spies. It says that Moses called Hoshea previously, and was his name given at birth was Hoshea without the Yud. And Moses gave him a Yud in order to give him the spiritual power to resist the temptation of the other spies who spoke bad against the land of Israel. So in order to give him that power, which he succeeded in giving him that power to resist, in order to be a leader, because a leader is a person that is not influenced by other people, even by a majority of very, very important people. Once more here, there were 12 spies sent, and 10 of them, which were the most important people of Israel, and each one was a leader in his own right. They were leaders of their individual tribes, and you had here a great majority opinion one way, but the true leader has to be able to stand up against that majority opinion when his conviction so tells him, or when he is so told by Moses. That power, which is actually the beginning of his becoming a true leader, because now at this point, when he's appointed to be Moses' successor, so it says that his attribute, his most essential attribute, is that he is good with everybody. He relates positively with everybody, is able to go in accordance with the spirit of each and every individual. But his first act had to be that he's able to resist tremendous majority opinion of very, very great people that say the opposite. Now, in order for him to assume that initial characteristic of a true leader, so Moses had to give him a new letter to actually add, to become integrated, fully integrated into his name. His name is his essence. Now that letter is a hand that Moses gave him. Because once more the letter is a Yud, and the letter Yud means hand. It's another hand. The sages teach us that relating to that letter Yud that Moses gave to Hoshea to become Yehoshua, they say that Kivan Shara'anu v'tanutosho Yehoshua, when Moses saw how humble Hoshea is. So that's what motivated and aroused Moses to give him a hand, an uplifting hand. And that initial uplifting hand became part of his name. And now, when he's being called by name to appoint him to become the successor, so he's not called Hoshea, he's called Yehoshua. There are other places in the Torah, even afterwards, where he is still referred to Hoshea, whenever the Torah wants to indicate that he kept his humility intact. But at this point, when he's being ordained and appointed to become the successor of the people, his name is in full Yehoshua bin Nun, Yehoshua the son of Nun. With that yud, that hand, that third hand that Moses had given previously. So once more, the full story is that there was an initial hand that Moses gave him to become uplifted above all of the other most important majority of the leaders of the Jewish people of the previous generation. The story of the spies. Now that hand, now we're going to explain all of this in the terminology of Kabbalah. That initial hand is called the middle hand. It's not the right hand, it's not the left hand, it's called the middle hand. And the name of the middle hand in the Torah is Yad Rama, the uplifted hand. That uplifts a person to his source, to the source of his own soul. And when he's uplifted, raised up to the source of his own soul, then he is at the level of one, actually one and alone, and he does not fall under the temptation of even a majority of people that go against his faith and his conviction and his essential connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. So once more, what Moshe Rabbeinu gave him initially, that due to his name, that's called Yad Rama, the uplifted, exalted hand. It's called the middle hand. The middle hand is either made manifest. Sometimes it says in the Chassidut, when one claps his two hands together, then there's a spiritual revelation of the middle hand. Or more normally, the explanation of the middle hand is that it's the body itself, that there's a middle energy channel going down the very middle of the body. So there's a hand inside the body itself, inside the torso, that the hand, the five fingers of the hand, of this middle mysterious inner hand, goes up to the head and even projects above the head. It's not a visible hand, but it's as though the head above the body is the beginning of the extension of the third middle hand from within the body itself. So it's meaning that the middle hand is always pointing up and lifting oneself upwards to his spiritual source, the source of the soul. But then in order to act in the world, we have to have our two physical hands, one to the right, one to the left. That the one to the right is actually physically the stronger of the two, but it represents spiritually the property of loving kindness. And the physically weaker has in itself spiritual might to augment the loving kindness and to enable the loving kindness to penetrate deep into reality in order to bear fruit. So once more, when Yehoshua was initially blessed to be Yehoshua, Moses gave him the Yad Rama. Then God said, place your hand upon him. That was giving him the right hand. The right hand is called Yad HaGdolah, the great hand. Greatness is a synonym for loving kindness in Kabbalah. Then Moses added to that Yad HaChazakah, the strong hand, which is the left hand. So once more, there is the uplifted hand, the initial hand, which is Yad Rama, and then there is the right hand, Yad HaGdolah, and the left hand, Yad HaChazakah. Now we'll conclude this meditation with a beautiful numerical phenomenon. Yehoshua's full name, as it reads here, Yehoshua bin Nun, Yehoshua the son of Nun, equals 549. The sum of the three hands, which is Yad Rama, Yad HaGdolah, Yad HaChazakah, equals 459, which is a permutation of the same three numbers. The initial definition of the leader that Moses asks for is Ish Al HaEda, a man over the congregation, that phrase, that man, that leader of the congregation, equals 495, which is another permutation, a third permutation of exactly the same three numbers. So this is obviously coming to teach us something, to allude to something. The fact that there are three hands, and there is a leader, a man over the congregation. And then Hashem says that his name, his proper name, is Yehoshua Bin Nun, Joshua the son of Nun, that all of these phrases and numbers relate to one another. So what does this mean? First, let's meditate about that phrase, Ish Al Haida, a man over the generation, over the congregation. The word hand is also inscribed in that phrase, because the second letter from the beginning of that phrase is a Yud, and the second letter from the end of that phrase is a Dalet, which spells Yad. The very first word that Moses speaks to God, after it says, and Moses spoke to God saying, the very first word is Yifkod, which means may he appoint, may God appoint. That word begins with a Yod and ends with a Dalet, which spells hand. Meaning that the word hand is already alluded to in the very first word of the section. It's then stated explicitly in the second last word of the whole portion, which is in the hand of Moses. But the first time it's alluded to the secret of the hand is the first and final letter of the very first word, which is the first verb, Yifkod. And then it's alluded to once more at the end of that first saying of Moses, which is the name of the leader, Ish Al Haida, a man over the congregation. Since that phrase, Ish Al Haida, a man over the congregation, has nine letters to it, it can be pictured as a square of 3 by 3. And then, if you write it 3 by 3, you will see that the diagonal line of that square spells a word Eile, these, Aleph Lamed Hei, which equals 36. The remaining letters equal 459, which is exactly the value of the three hands. Moses himself is called frequently in the Torah Ish, just by the connotation man. Sometimes he's called the man of God, Ish HaElokim. Sometimes he's referred to just by the phrase, by the word man. Since the middle letter of man is the Yud of Yah, the hand, and the second last letter from the end is Yad, which spells the second letter from the beginning is Yud, and the second from the end is Yad, is Dalet, which spells Yad, hand. The middle letter of the phrase is the Lamed, the same Lamed which is the middle letter of the diagonal line that we constructed just a moment before, meaning that by equidistant skipping of letters, which is a process which is now very, very well known, between the Yud of the hand and the Dalet of the hand, in the middle there is the letter Lamed. Spelling a word of three letters, Yeled. And in the phrase, Ish Al Haida, there are three letters which appear very, very clearly, which are the second letter from the beginning, the second letter from the end, and the letter in the middle, which are an equidistant skip of letters, spelling the word Yered. If you put a Lamed inside the word hand, you get a child. Yered means a child. Child appears to be the opposite of a man. A man means a grown-up person. We say that there are different synonyms for man in Hebrew. The synonym which means an adult is Ish. Of all of the words that mean man, the only one which always refers to an adult, a mature person, not a child, is Ish. So when it says that the leader has to be an Ish, it means that he has to be an adult, he has to be mature. That's the very first thing that it implies. So then it's very, very unique that the word Yelid is alluded to here, meaning that he also has to possess some properties as a child. He has to be pure. Our sages teach you there's something about a child that is so pure that the whole world stands on the merit of the purity of little children. That's also something inside the hand that is giving over the properties of leadership from generation to generation. If we take the word Ish and add to it those other two letters which appear in equidistant skipping from the Yud of Ish, the Lamed and the Dal of Yered, so we have five letters which spell two of God's names, Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is God Almighty, that's the way it's usually translated. And those two names appear together many times in the Torah, and they equal exactly Moshe, Moses. Meaning that Moses himself is here. What is actually Moses asking for, and what God gives him at the end, is the ability to project himself through the means of all three of his hands, to project himself fully into his disciple. That the successor is a new version of the very same eternal truth of the soul of Moses, our teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to do that, there has to be an intertwining, it's called, of a child being projected from the mature adult. The word child means also to give birth, meaning that the adult has the power to give birth to children. Once more, the Ish with the Yered projected from the Ish spell the two names of God, Kel Shakai, which equal Moses himself, Moshe. Alright, so now we'll just conclude why the fact that we have three different permutations of the same numbers, 4, 5, and 9. How many different permutations are there? There are six possible permutations of three numbers. Just like there are six possible words that can be constructed out of three different letters. These three that appear, 459, 495, 549, are the first three, much more in the order of ascending numerical value. So 459, which is the value of the three hands, is the first number. 495, which is Ish al Haedah, man over the congregation, is the second number. And then 549, which is Yehoshua, the son of Nun, Yehoshua ben Nun, the name of the man to be appointed, is the third number, numerically. Now, whoever understands the concept of permutations, whether of numbers or letters, so he knows that the remaining three are simply the reverse order of the initial three. The one in ascending numerical value after 549 is 594. But 594 is the opposite of 495. The next one is 945, but that's the opposite of 549. The final one is 954, which is the opposite of the first one, 459. Meaning that the first three define the whole set of six. And those are the three that we have in our context, in our story here. Now, six permutations, whether of letters or of numbers, in Kabbalah correspond to the six attributes of the heart. And in our context, to explain it, the first one, which is 459, the three hands, as one of the six permutations, corresponds to Chesed, the first of the six attributes of the heart, which is loving kindness itself. Meaning that all the three hands are included actually in that hand, in that right hand that God says to Moses to place over the head of Yehoshua in order to ordain and appoint him. The next one, which is 4, 9:5, a man over the congregation. That's the permutation that corresponds to the attribute of Netzach. Netzach means to conduct, which means to lead. That is the Sfira, the emanation of leadership itself, Netzach. That's why this story is in the fourth portion of the Torah reading of Pinchas. Because Revi'i, the fourth portion, is Netzach, which is the explicit power of leadership, the Natzeach. The next one, which is 5:49, Yehoshua bin Nun, his name, his very name, that as a Sfira corresponds to the companion Sfira of Netzach, which is Hod. Hod is the glory or the splendor of the leader. Now, that's another word that we didn't mention, but here God continues to say to Moses, you shall place, after indicating his name, who he is, the verse continues to read, you shall place your glory, your hold over him. So once more, the permutation which corresponds to hold is the very name of Joshua himself, Joshua the son of Nun. So we have here these three numbers, which are all permutations, the same three, different numbers from 1 to 9, 4:59 and 4:95 and 5:49, which in Kabbalah correspond to the origin of leadership, which is loving kindness, and then the ability to conduct a people, especially in times of war, to take them out and to bring them back. That's Netzach. That's called Ish Adayda, a man over the congregation. And then the name, his very name, is the splendor, the aura that the true leader possesses. And the aura of the true leader is the 5:49, which is the name Yehoshua bin Nun. But he possesses all three hands. So the conclusion of our meditation is to try to see and to internalize the three hands. The uplifted hand, which rises us above all conflict and opposition. As every leader is faced with opposition. So first he has to be able to be uplifted above opposition. That's the first hand that he receives, and that has to become part of his name. His very name says that I am not here fighting against anybody, because actually I'm above opposition. Then, in order to begin to lead, in actuality, he has to be given Moses' leading hand, which is the right hand. In order that that be perfect and consummate, it must be augmented also by the might of the left hand, which is the ability, as we said before, to really relate to each and every individual, not trying to change the other person in essence, but just being able to have the left itself become included within the right.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galianite team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah and Hasidut. Together, the Galianite team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galai Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.